Wow. How has God encouraged you? I trust that He is encouraging you during this season, and I hope that He's been encouraging you through this series that we're doing, The Fascinating Phrases from Philippians. We're going to continue that series today, and I'm really looking forward to it. Why don't you bow with me for a word of prayer, and let's get right into Philippians 3:14. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we go into Your Word now, we pray that it would be an encouragement for us so that we can be and do all that You have in store for us today. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Together, everyone said amen and amen. Well, I was going through some old paper files and I found a message that I was invited to give when I was like 26 or 27 years old. It was at a high school in Howard County, Maryland, called Athleton High School. And I wasn't quite sure what I was going to talk about, but as I looked at the message, it was typed, it was old, and guess what the topic was? The topic was success. And as I began to read through the outline, I could see that it actually came from a sermon that I had preached 6 years prior. You see, when I was 20 years old, I was licensed to preach the gospel. And in my religious tradition, when you were called to preach, the host pastor, along with other pastors in the community, would come together for a major service, and you would have to preach something called your trial sermon. And so for my trial sermon that day, guess what I preached? I preached Philippians 3:14. It was a message on success. And so evidently, I took the outline from that message I preached when I was a young 20-year-old to now Athleton High School, where I'm 26 or 27, stripped away the Bible passages and all the churchy language, and I gave those students an inspiring talk on success. Well, here we are many years later. Think about that. 30 years or so ago, I was licensed to preach. And then, 26 years or so ago, I'm talking to high schoolers. But what would I have to say about success? I was 26 or 27 years old. I had only been married a couple of years. I had no children. I didn't have a steady income, although I had a part-time job selling adjustable beds for commission. I was at a time in my life where I was starting a church from scratch, and now I'm going to talk to some high school students about success. Well, that same message, if you go back to the passage, it actually is truth for today as it was decades ago. May it inspire you as you think about your own success, but as you think about what the Apostle Paul was trying to teach us. The Word of God may be old, but it never gets old. So what does the passage say? I'm going to read it for you in just a moment, but what I want you to do is to understand the big idea that I told those high schoolers and that I'm going to tell you today. And that is this: you can be a success if you continue to press. You can be a success if you continue to press. Now think about it, I probably didn't know anything about success really, but I did know something about pressing, something about keeping my spirit and my faith alive to do what God had put on my heart to do. And here it is, so many years later, I'm still doing it. Not because of my great efforts, but because of God's great grace, and because this verse is something that reminds us that we can keep pressing regardless of the mess that has come into our lives or that we ourselves have even gotten ourselves into. So no matter the mess, continue to press. And you can be a success if you continue to press. Let's read the passage. We'll pick it up at verses 12 through 14. Last week, we spoke from verse 10, Philippians chapter 3:10. But today, let's pick it up at verse 12, and this is what the Apostle Paul says. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Verse 13, brothers, sisters included, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Here it is, our key verse, verse 14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let me read that key verse again. This is our fascinating phrase from Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal or toward the mark to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Regardless of where you are in your life, you can be a success if you will only continue to press. But what is success? Everyone in the world tries to define it, but I'm going to give you what success for the believer is. We can see in Paul's life from last week, he said in verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and share in the fellowship of his sufferings. That was his personal mission statement. He wanted to have a deeper knowledge of who Christ was. But Paul also says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. What the Apostle Paul is saying is that at the end of his life, he wants to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord gave him, and that is to testify to the gospel of grace. So put it together. He wants to know Christ more deeply, and he wants to complete the task that Christ has given him, which is to testify to the gospel of God's grace. So let me ask the question. Do you think the Apostle Paul achieved that goal? Do you think that he was a success in meeting that agenda? What about Jesus? What was Jesus's definition of success? And did he achieve it? Well, it says in John chapter 17, verse 4, the Lord Jesus says, I have brought you glory on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do. He's talking to God the Father through prayer, and he says to his Father, I have completed the work you gave me to do on the earth. And so maybe we can understand what success is by looking at Paul's life and looking at Jesus's life. And Paul says, I wanted to complete the task the Lord gave me. Jesus says, I've completed the work that you gave me to do on the earth. And so friends, here's our definition of success. Success is accomplishing your God-given mission. That's it. Simple. For the believer, success is accomplishing your God-given mission, the task, the assignment, the purpose that God has given you. Success is finishing your race. You know, the word endurance can be defined like this: end your race. Endurance. End your race. If you're going to complete your task, you're gonna need some endurance. You're gonna need some perseverance. You're gonna need to end your race. Endurance. Complete the task. Success is completing and accomplishing the God-given mission for you. By the way, not for me, but for you. What mission does God have for you? What ministry does God have for you? What purpose does God have for you? What has God created you to do and to be? And by the way, since we're talking about success for a moment, can I just tell you, potential means nothing. Potential means nothing. The graveyard is full of people who had potential. People are dying every day who have potential. Potential means nothing. Success is not about potential. Success is about completion. What have you finished? What have you completed? And how have you done it? Today, what I want to do is talk to you about the four D's to winning the race. The four D's to winning the race. If you're going to finish your race, if you're going to win your race, if you're going to complete your task, if you're going to accomplish your mission, then what are the four D's that you need in order to do it? We find it in this fascinating phrase from Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Let's go back to the passage. It starts out with, I press. Here's the first D, determination. To press means you're going to keep pressing. You're going to keep striving. You're going to keep moving toward the goal that God has for you in who you become and in what you accomplish. And the Apostle Paul is saying, I press. That's the first D to winning the race. That's the first D of accomplishing the mission that God has for you, determination. I press. It means don't give up. Stick-to-itiveness. Keep pressing. Someone who is watching this message today needs to hear me say to them, keep pressing. Don't give up. Stick to it. You know, we're pressing here at Bridgeway Community Church. We haven't stopped ministry. In fact, I believe we've advanced ministry. We have advanced ministry in so many different areas. Every week we are feeding people at our community cupboard. Over 100 people came to get food, and that represented 400 or 500 people when you think about families. And a couple of weeks ago when I was helping with our community cupboard team, I think we fed 423 people. We're continuing to press. And not only are we feeding people in our community cupboard every Saturday, whether it's in Columbia, Maryland, or in Owens Mills, Reisterstown, Maryland, but we're pressing in the ministry we're doing with those who we're connected with in all of our different areas of ministry, including discipleship and Christian education. In fact, we just hired another minister. His name is William Jen. Minister William Jen has been with us for about 5 years. William Jen was the pastor, the senior pastor of one of the largest Korean churches in the area, Bethel Korean Presbyterian Church. He went through some problems there, and finally he ended up at Bridgeway. And you know what? He didn't want to take over and lead. He wanted to heal and be restored. And I told him, just become a partner and just begin to serve as the Lord leads. We have so many former senior pastors as a part of our ministry here, whether on our elder board or on our clergy team or serving in our ministries. So many pastors and elders from other churches, and somehow they find their way to Bridgeway Community Church, a place where they can heal, a place where they can be restored, a place where they can receive God's word, and a place where they can get involved. Well, guess what? That's exactly what happened with William Jen. He just quietly served. Even though this man has degrees in counseling and he teaches at a college with regard to counseling, and he was a pastor on the staff of Tim Keller's church up in New York, and he has all kinds of experience, he just served. And guess where he served? In translation ministry. That's right. He's Korean. And he sits in the back where no one sees him in a small studio. And when the messages like the one I'm preaching are being preached to you, he would translate in Korean. He served in other areas as well. We knew it was time to put our hands on him. And so guess what we did? Even though we're in COVID season, even though the church may be empty, the building may be empty, the church is still full and the church ministry is still full. So we all met on a Google Hangout Zoom kind of call, and we laid hands on William Jen as a minister. Some of you know him, others of you don't. But one of these days, I hope that you will cross paths with Minister Jen. He's going to be helping us with discipleship and Christian education, along with Pastor Sandy Pope and Pastor Gary Coiro. But he's also going to be helping us with Asian ministry and Korean ministry in particular. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that here's a man who was determined not to give up. Him and his wife, Young A, said, we're going to continue to grow and to serve. And we as a church, we're not giving up. To be able to hire during COVID, to be able to push ministry forward in the midst of all that's going on, yes, we're determined. What about you? Determination is the first D to winning the race. Determination is the first area where Paul is saying, I press, I press, I press. Even though I may be under house arrest, I press. Even though I may be sequestered in quarantine, I press. What do you need to press on with? Whether you go through bankruptcy, divorce, sickness, unemployment, COVID concerns, listen, press on. Don't give up. Get up. Because if you are going to reach the goal that God has for you, you've got to get up. If you're going to reach everything that God wants you to accomplish, you got to get up. Jesus got up on Sunday morning. Paul got up off of that horse after he had been knocked off that horse. You have to get up no matter what it is that has knocked you down. It's not over for you. You just have to be determined. And so Paul says, I press. But that's only the first of four D's to winning the race. Here's the second one. Are you ready? Direction. Notice the verse. It says, I press toward the goal. Did you see the word toward? If I press is determination, toward is direction. It's a directional word. It means you're going toward something. And direction's important if you're going to succeed. Direction's important if you are actually going to make it toward the goal. Let me ask you a question. If I take 95 from Maryland, will I get to Florida? Let me ask you again. Ask the people that you're watching this with if you want to. Say something online. Give me a yes or a no. If I take 95 from Maryland, will I get to Florida? Yes or no? It depends. It depends on what direction you're going. If you go 95 north, you will not ever make it to Florida. If you go 95 south, then you can go and make it to Florida. It depends on the direction. Some people want to be on the right road, but they're on the right road going in the wrong direction. In order to succeed, you have to both have the right road and the right direction. For some of you, what you need more than anything else is to stay on track. And being on the right road is one thing, but going in the right direction is the other. Because if you're going hard and you're determined, I've got the first D, I'm determined to get to Florida. I'm determined to get to Florida. But you're going north on 95, all the determination in the world is not going to get you to your destination. So yes, you need determination, but you also need direction. It's like being married. You know, marriage is a good road, but if you're married to the wrong person, it's a bad road. You see, it's the person and the reason. You see, it's not just about the marriage. Marriage is important, but it's also about the man and about the motivation. And so I have to have the right mate and I have to be marrying for the right reason. Otherwise, what people say is, I'm done with marriage. Well, maybe it's not marriage you're done with. Maybe it's the motivation. Maybe it's the mate. And so some of us need to just get back on track. It's not that we're on the wrong road. We just have to turn around and get going in the right direction. But God is gracious. Don't go and say, I got to get a divorce now because I'm married to the wrong person. You can't use my message that way, okay? But what you can say is that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. What you can say is God can take something and turn it around, and what was meant for evil can be used for good. What some of you need more than anything else is to say, Lord, I need a change of direction. I need to get on track. Well, here's the question. If your heart is telling you from this message, man, I need to get on track, Pastor, you might still be asking yourself, but how? Okay, I'm determined and I want to be in the right direction, but how do I get on the right track? What do I do? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because in this passage, if you'll just go back a verse to Philippians 3:13, the Apostle Paul actually says this. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward, there's that word again, what is ahead, I press. So there are a couple of things that you can think about when it comes to trying to get back on track. First, put the past behind you. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward. Put the past behind you. What do you need to leave in the past? Because in order for you to make a turnaround and go in a different direction, even if you're on the right road, you're going to be leaving something in the past. And for some of you, the reason why it's hard for you to move forward is because you are still hanging on to the past. What I've also found out in my life, and maybe you found out in yours as well, that even when you want to leave something in the past don't want to leave you. You try to go in a different direction, but it seems like you got a caboose behind you, right? Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's something that you've been trying to leave for a while, but it won't leave you. If you find yourself in that kind of a situation, sometimes what you need more than anything else is a little bit of help. And so how do you get yourself on track? Put the past behind you. Prioritize getting some help. Sometimes you can't get that caboose off of you until you get somebody to help from behind you to help unattach it. And the reality is there's some things that we're attached to that just stick with us, and we got to work through it. You know, if you happen to be blessed enough to have insurance, and I know everyone doesn't, medical insurance, health insurance, look at your card, your insurance card, and turn it to the back. There's probably a mental health number, an 800 number. Call that number and say, I'm looking for some professional help. If you have insurance, your insurance pays for it. Maybe you have a copay or something, but take advantage of the resources you have. Prioritize the help, because if you're trying to put something in the past, but you can't seem to let it go, talking it through with a therapist or with a small group of supporters, maybe a support group or a Christian brother or sister, that sort of thing, realize that I can't do it alone. I need help to break the sickness. I need help to break the habit. I need help to now move forward in the right direction. So how do I get on track? I got to put the past behind me. I've got to prioritize getting help. And let me give you a third and final thing that I think is going to help you, and that is this. Put together a mission statement. Do you have a personal mission statement? We told you last week that the Apostle Paul had his personal mission statement. What about you? You know, a mission statement is there to actually motivate you. It's not for anyone else. And no one has to agree or sign off. You might want to share it with somebody. But I've had my same mission statement for probably almost 30 years now. It's short. You want to hear it? To positively inspire for Christ everyone, everywhere, every time. It's about 7 or 8 words, and I've had it in my back pocket, in my mind for 20, 30 years. I don't say it a lot. It's personal to me. I don't have it blasted anywhere. It's not on any of my socials. Personal mission statements are for you. What motivates you? And I know my personal mission statement, to positively inspire for Christ everyone, everywhere, every time. And so how do you get back on track? Put the past behind you. Paul says, forgetting what is behind. Prioritize getting help and put together a personal mission statement. We said that there are 4 D's to winning the race. I press, determination, toward, direction. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize. Here it is. You ready? Destiny. Destiny means you have something in the future that you're going to get to, that you're trying to reach for. It's a future goal. And the word that the apostle uses for goal or mark is that word scopos, scope. It's kind of like the cameras. Scope. When you look, it zeroes in. I press toward the mark. It's staying focused on what the future goal is, the destination, if you will, the destiny, if you will. If you are going to succeed, you have to have a goal. If you don't have a goal, you'll hit it every time. A goal, a mark, a future, a plan is going to help you move toward accomplishing your mission. Keeping yourself focused, saying no to the things you need to say no to. In fact, the scripture tells us that Paul is saying, I have a goal here. I've got to press toward the goal. I've got to press toward the mark. That's a destiny. And listen, I like what one person said. They said, it's easier to say no when you have a deeper yes burning within. In other words, in order for you to stay focused, you're going to have to say no to a few things. And you're going to have to look at that goal and say, I can't do this over here because I'm trying to reach that over there. In order to succeed, I had to tell those students, and I told those people in my trial sermon, and I've taken this message around the world, and I've told people over and over again, and I tell you today that if you don't have a goal and if you don't have a destination, you'll never make it to Florida from Maryland, because you've got to be looking forward to a destination to get there. It's so important to understand that we've got to keep going, got to keep pressing, got to be going in the right direction, and got to have a destination to focus on. That's why I'm so proud of this church. We've always had a vision statement. We've always had a mission statement. Our vision statement to become a multicultural body of fully devoted followers of Christ who are moving forward in unity and love to reach our community, our culture, and our world for Jesus Christ. We're still reaching our community, our culture, and our world for Jesus Christ, more so now than maybe ever before. I'm so proud of Bridgeway because guess what? In the 6 weeks we've not had the church building full, the church has been full. Not only full with ministry, but full with generosity. You know you've been giving. And we don't do a whole lot of, dancing around giving. I don't spend 10 minutes talking about giving. We just say, listen, give to the Lord. Here's the website, and you've been doing it. And I want to now show you what our giving has been, just so you can see that we have people of destiny. We have people with vision. We have people who have bought into our mission to build into one another as we build bridges to Christ. We don't just want people's money to say we have money. We want the money to come into the kingdom so we can advance the kingdom of God, because we have a greater destiny to reach our community, our culture, and our world for Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what you've been doing. Even during COVID. In week one, back in March 15th, we raised in our offering 83.7% of the offering goal. That's 84%. Who gets that? You don't have church. 84%. The next Sunday on the 22nd of March, 85.5% of the offering goal. I'm like, it's surely not going to keep going up after that. I mean, that's amazing. No church and 85% of the offering goal? You must be kidding me. The next week, March 29th, are you ready? 88.7%, almost 89% of the offering goal. Unbelievable. I was falling off of my chair when I read that. And then the first week of April, you're not going to believe this, 94.2% of our goal. You must be kidding me. What people of destiny to realize that when they give to the Lord, it goes way beyond today. It is a deposit into tomorrow. It is a vision to reach our community, our culture, and our world for Jesus Christ. Could it get any better than 94.2%? Then we had Easter, which was the 11th or the 12th of April. And guess what? It went down. The biggest Sunday of the year, but the offering went down to 71.5%. That ain't bad. And then last week, the 19th, are you ready for this? 116.7% of the offering goal. You take all that and you average it over the 6 weeks, we are hitting 90.05% of our offering goal. Think about that. 90% of our offering goal we're hitting. I think, wow, what a people of destiny. Because if you're going to succeed, you've got to connect it to a vision of destiny, and you are the people that are doing it. And I want to say thank you to you, because we're still able to do ministry. But here's the thing. We're celebrating, saying thank you to the Lord. I'm like elders and clergy. Let's pray and thank God like the lepers. Remember, you had all the lepers and only one came back and said, thank you. I want to be that one. I don't want to be like the other night. So I said, we need to pray and thank God. And so we paused. We prayed and we thank God. But here's the thing. I was talking to a couple of my teammates and I said, if there was any other time that we were losing 10%, I said 90% of the offering goal is what we've averaged. Any other time, if we were losing 10%, we might come to it and say, oh my goodness, what's going wrong here? Maybe we ought to call a meeting. Maybe we ought to start cutting things. Listen, it's all about perspective, isn't it? We have 90% and we're praising God. But if it were another situation where it wasn't a COVID challenge and we were losing 10%, we'd be saying, oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? We're losing 10%. That's our average. What am I saying? I'm saying the facts never changed. But our heart and our attitude did. A positive perspective is absolutely essential if we are going to be a success. Thank you, Bridgeway, for your giving. Your destiny should define your perspective. Well, can I give you the fourth and the final D to winning the race? I press, determination, toward, direction. The goal to win the prize, destiny, for which I was called heavenward to Christ Jesus, devotion. To do all the other three things and not actually do it for Christ is a waste. You see, it's not just what you do, it's who you do it for. That's what success is. Remember, accomplishing your God-given mission. Other people have other missions and they define success differently. Maybe it's the stock market, maybe it's family, maybe it's their career. But in God's economy, it's accomplishing the task that He gave Jesus, which was to live on the earth, die, be crucified, buried, rise again. For Paul, it was being a testimony for the gospel. For you, what is it? Because it's your God-given mission, not mine. But it's not just about what you do, it's who you do it for. And so Paul says at the end, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which I've been called heavenward for Christ Jesus. I'm doing it all for Him. It's devotion. That's your heart. Who are you most devoted to? It's your heart. And so staying committed to Jesus is what you and I need to do in order to win the race and to be successful the way He wants us to be successful. You know, I'm so excited about our Bible studies on Facebook every Sunday night. I've been doing them at 5 o'clock, you know, Facebook live at 5. And, you know, over 1,000.3 views since Sunday night. Just people are eating it up and over, you know, nearly 400 comments. And we're just going back and forth learning God's word. That shows me how devoted so many of you are. And I have one friend, he's not on Facebook. He goes, can you just send me the notes? I said, absolutely. You know, the hunger for God's word shows that there is a devotion for more than just yourself. I hope you're all there tonight because I'm going to talk about this prize. Remember how he said, I press toward the goal for the prize. Is it okay to be motivated to get to heaven so I get a prize? Yes. I'm going to talk about tonight the eternal crowns and rewards that are waiting for you in glory. If you're interested in that, make sure you join me tonight. But at the end of the day, the devotion to Christ, it's all about loyalty and longing. And the Apostle Paul actually says there's a crown of righteousness, not only for me, but for all those who long for His appearing. If you love Jesus, you're loyal to Jesus, and you're longing for His return, you qualify for one of the crowns. There's several of them, and I'll talk about them tonight. But that's what it's about. That's what motivated Paul. And that's what motivates me, and probably motivates many of you too. And that is this, you know that there's another side. And when you get to that other side, you want to hear those seven words from Jesus that are most affirming and fulfilling when He says, well done, thy good and thy faithful servant. That will be worth it all. Paul says in Romans 8:18, this present suffering doesn't even compare to the future glory that will be revealed in me. What have we said? And I'll bring it to a close. We've said success is accomplishing your God-given mission. We said potential means nothing. Completion is the goal. and that there are four D's to winning the race. Can you say it with me? I press means what? Determination. Toward is what? Direction. The goal for the prize is what? Come on. Destiny. And who do we do it for? For which I've been called heavenward, to Christ Jesus. Devotion. You know, Paul said at the end of his life, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my race. Some people are finishing their race. About 40,000 or more people in the country are finishing their race, maybe even before they actually finished it. Many have died because of COVID. Maybe more will pass. But Paul at the end of his life says, I've been poured out like a drink offering. I've done everything I can. I've left it all out on the field. It's no more potential left in me. It's all gone. And he gets to the other side, and I'm sure Jesus gives him the well done. And my prayer for you is that when you get to the other side, Jesus will give you your well done. Whether you die young or whether you die old, accomplish the mission that God had for you. Jesus was only 33, and he accomplished his mission. Only God knows your birth date and your death date. But for believers, it's not death. It's eternal life in its fullest form. And if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to invite you to pray with me right now. Say, Dear Jesus, I want to know my God-given potential and assignment so that I might complete it. I invite you to come into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. Please forgive me for my sins and help me to walk with you today. Save me, God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. One day, God will say, Well done, thy good and faithful servant.